Thank you for joining us. This is A Moment in Time, a podcast story series, and I'm Kevin Niehaus, your host.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Kevin Niehaus, and I'm here with my guest,
Alicia.
Hello, Alicia. And what are we talking about today, Alicia?
We're talking about relationships.
Are we talking about a certain relationship, or are we talking about multiple relationships?
Two relationships. It's a relationship smoothie.
Okay. Smoothie. I like that. A good little blend. And what did you say? It's a good blend of the wake-ups, breakups, and all the makeups?
Exactly.
Okay. So, frame it for me. Where do we start?
Kind of starts back in high school with Brandon.
Okay.
My high school sweetheart, so to speak. And we broke up and got back together handfuls of times. I think it was like 7 years or something like that. And I calculated somewhat recently that we were broken up longer than we were ever together.
Really?
Our relationship is interesting in that he's bisexual and he went away to the army and he visited, I was in college. We hadn't been talking, but he was in California for like 2 weeks. And he set aside some time to hang out with me, and it was a fairy tale, and I wasn't really doing anything in my life at that time. So when he left, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm sick and tired of wondering if he and I are ever going to be a thing. I called him up and said, hey, can I come move in with you? And I did. I packed up all my stuff, moved 3,000 miles away from everything I ever known, and it was good, and then it was bad. And then I left.
Okay, so let's do a geography check-in here. So you're from California, Southern California.
Right.
So you packed up, right? And then everyone listening, envision that little graphic where you see the plane fly up. Where did you land?
I landed in Tampa, Florida.
Okay, so you went from Southern California to Tampa, Florida.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. And I had visited Tampa once before, so I kind of knew what I was getting into humidity-wise. But
it is very different on the East Coast.
Yes. I have never cohabitated with a boyfriend. And family, both of us had just cohabitated with family, and we both had roommates in college, but never romantically. And I'm 24 at that point, and he's 26, so kind of young-ish. Mm-hmm. He'd been to the army, there was drugs involved at one point in our relationship.
This sounds like the best washing machine ever. It keeps going around and around.
And there's a lot of details that I have forgotten. As coping mechanisms, I'm sure. But the crux, I don't know if that's the right word, but he was romantically interested in a coworker before I got there. And
so this is before moving from home to Tampa.
For me, he had been in Tampa for 2 years, I think, prior to me moving. But he met somebody at work, and she was with somebody, she was engaged, but he had a thing for her. And he wasn't ready for me to move into a one-bedroom apartment. Neither one of us were really ready. He's also bipolar.
And as a mental health specialist, I'm now intrigued, so
yes,
keep going.
Yes, and during the course of when I first got there, he decided to not consult his doctor and wean himself off of his medication.
Okay, so you're entering literally a shitstorm. You're walking into somebody who's like booked in their love interest to move you in, right? It stopped, and then magically, I assume later in the story, we're going to find out it picked back up.
Yeah.
Right? Awesome. You also have somebody who is got mental stability issues and decided to take themselves off medication without advising or getting advice from anybody.
And there was a time while we were kind of friends back in California where he had a bout of depression and tried to take his life because he'd left the army or gotten asked to leave the army, found his way into the club scene and drug dealing. And he realized that his life was in a downward spiral. It was in a blender.
It was, hence relationship smoothies.
So yeah. Oy vey.
So if let's frame it. You're in Tampa. What happened after you got to Tampa?
It took me a month to find a job, so that was a little bit stressful. I didn't know anybody except for him and his mom and dad, but eventually found myself a kick-ass job working in a a certain Swedish store and met some friends and started going to ladies' night, and I was fine. But he still had some hang-ups with other people. There was one instance where we were celebrating a birthday of his friend, but she became my friend too. And there was a text message, and he didn't remember meeting this person, but he was so curious. Homeboy sent a photo, and I somehow had my boyfriend's phone, and I ended up deleting the photo. And he figured it out, and that was kind of, I would say, the beginning of the end.
Okay, so let me just make sure I follow that correctly. You had his phone, somebody sent a picture, a love interest, and you just happened to see the picture.
Yeah.
You deleted the picture, yeah, kind of out of shock.
Yeah.
And he then got upset with you for deleting the photo?
Exactly.
Okay.
It was a mystery. Everybody was trying to, they like nicknamed him, something mysterious. I don't remember. But it was another person in our friendship circle almost. This mystery of like, who's this guy that he met before Alicia got here? And I'm sitting here thinking, I just drove 3,000 miles away from everything I know, and you're fucking around with my emotions, and you might leave me, or I just felt really threatened.
It sounds very vulnerable, almost like you gave up all of your security, all of that comfort for something that is kind of being in the eye of a hurricane.
Yeah.
So walk me through kind of the mental state you were in at this standpoint. Did you go through depression? Did you start getting insecure? Like, what happened to you during that time?
I would say that I was really insecure. Also, my grandma back home was going through some health things. I was on birth control for the first time, so I thought that was probably messing with my hormones. But just a really unstable, uncertain thing. So I moved there March. Things started to go down the drain with the whole text message that I deleted, the photograph that I deleted in May. And then...
So we're talking 60 to 90 days in, you, like, the bombshell hit and blew up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he asked me, we went for a walk, and he goes, I'm speaking to you as a friend. And as a friend, I don't think I'm ready to cohabitate with you. What would you say if I asked you to move out? And I said, my first reaction is I'm going back to California, but I want to make this work. Like, let's date. Let's have me be here. Let's date again. So I moved in with his family for a little bit. And then I found my own roommate situation. By December, he bought his own 2-bedroom condo. And I moved into the second room. I paid rent. And I had to ask permission to sleep in his bed.
Okay, so you're dating, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right? Now, is he still seeing other people during this standpoint? Are we going to get there?
Oh, we're going to get there.
Okay.
So the coworker that I have mentioned, we go out and we party with his boss, the coworker, myself, and him. And I was the designated driver that night. Everybody was really fucking smashed. And I slept on the couch. He slept on the floor. His boss and coworker slept in his room. And at some point, the boyfriend gets up and he goes into the room where they're sleeping. And I'm awake, kind of like half awake, half asleep. And I thought he went to go sleep in the closet. Because it was like a walk-in closet. It was, you know, the temperature was probably good in there as opposed to in the living room. I don't know.
So these are all your twilight,
yeah,
you know,
right,
defenses of the situation.
And then 2-3 minutes later, they leave. And I think he peed in the sink at some point. At any rate, I come to find out that he got on top of her. We're going to call it rape.
Okay.
So at that point, he became... His world was falling apart because it was involving his job. It was involving a friend. It was involving his boss, violating a woman. All kinds of mixed up, intertwined awfulness. And I don't know how, but I dug deep and I was like, you know what? You don't need a girlfriend right now. You just need a friend.
So hold on. So you allegedly What you understand happened in this moment was he essentially took advantage of a female coworker he had a hots for,
yeah, right,
or attraction to, and she did not welcome that. She then left with him following.
No, he stayed behind. My boyfriend stayed behind.
Got it.
It wasn't until the next day where he kind of filled me in. He was really cloudy, but I sat down with her, and I'm a victim of sexual abuse as a 13-year-old, you know, young girl. So I unfortunately had to have her spell it out. I was like, hey, girl, hey, what I'm hearing is this. What really happened? And she's like, he got on top of me and had to be shoved off.
Mm, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all of this, you still are kind of in this place where you're like, okay, back up. Because now he might, it sounds like, starting to trigger your own issues.
Yeah.
Right? So you took dating off the table and you're like, let's be friends. We're roommates now.
Let's, yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that worked. And I slowly didn't necessarily like forgive him, but stuffed all that down.
What does that come with? Because if you were my client, I would say, how did you shove that all down?
Oh, I wanted the fairy tale.
Okay.
I wanted to marry him, despite this and all of his shortcomings. I thought he was the one for me. I loved his family. I fit in with them real well. And even to this day, I'm a little, I don't want to say desperate, but we're going to say desperate to share my life with a husband.
Okay. So, but in this moment, right? So you've got this fantasy, right? You wave the magical wand. You're like, okay, Alicia, you forgot it all. Right?
Yeah.
How did you keep that from not poisoning everything else in your life? Did you drink more? Did you smoke? Like what coping skill? Because usually it's associated with a coping skill.
I worked. We're going to say I smoke, but not like any more than I do now.
So you literally just put the rose colored glasses on and it went away.
Yep.
Okay.
I put on. Yep. Yep. So December, he got the condo and asked me to move in. Three times. I did the Judas Iscariot. I was like, are you sure? Are you super sure? Because if we move in again, then like, this is it. Like we're headed down the aisle in, you know, so long kind of thing.
And now this is the first time you actually moved into the condo.
Yes.
These were your stipulations to say, don't play games anymore.
Exactly.
Okay.
So some of the stipulations were, we're in two separate bedrooms and you have to ask permission to be in my bed. Crazy sauce.
But yet you signed the contract.
I signed, and I painted baseboards. Hoi. My parents came and visited us. He was talking marriage and engagement rings. So that's about like February, and by May. So I was there for a total of a year and 3 months. By May, he sat me down and goes, hey, I want to move back to California eventually. And because you don't make a whole heck of a lot of money, I don't know how you fit in. He was withholding sex. We were only sleeping together intimately if there was alcohol involved. And that was my big gripe, because I'm thinking, all right, as a bisexual man, are you trying to numb a pain in order to, because he's physically attracted to men and mentally attracted to women. And I knew that. I always knew that. So sex was always kind of a challenge for me, but still good, still fulfilling. Mm-hmm. But I was like, why do we always need to be drunk in order to have sex? So that was really why in my opinion, we broke up. It was money for him and sex for me.
Okay. So now let's, you know, since we started off talking about wake-ups, breakups, and so many makeups, right? At this standpoint, you've now broken up, what would you say, twice?
While in Tampa. While in Tampa, I think we broke up probably about twice. Yeah.
Okay.
Once for fake and once for real.
And now this one that you just shared is the real one.
The second one is the real one. So I tried to put in for a transfer. That didn't work. So I basically just quit my job. I was couch surfing for a while. I was at like four or five different friends' houses, including his parents. And it took me 4 days to get to Tampa. It took me 3 days to come back. Mm. I was on a mission. Oh, I tried to plead like when you go through a breakup, you go through all those cycles of anger, resentment.
It's almost like grieving.
Exactly. Exactly. Anger, bargaining. So we had the bargaining moment. We're at our favorite bar, drinking very heavily. I got in a car and drove, super stupid. And he just wouldn't take me back. And I thought my life was done. Wasn't making a whole lot of money. The world turned upside down. So I was suicidal. And I jumped on the phone. And my mom actually doesn't remember this. Which is funny because I brought it up recently and she just lost a nephew of hers to suicide.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you. But she doesn't remember this portion of the story, which I find mildly amusing. I got on the phone and called a suicide hotline. 2 o'clock in the morning. I swear I dialed correctly. And the other person answers, blah, 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 insurance agency. This is so-and-so. How can I help you? A, what is an insurance agency doing at 2 o'clock in the morning answering phones? And homeboy could tell that I was distraught. And he goes, you're trying to call the suicide hotline, aren't you? And I was like, what? Legitimately, I was just like so confused. So I'm like in this moment of need and I get an insurance agent. And he's like, well, unfortunately, you didn't call the right number. Would you like me to transfer you or would you like me to?
Because he had the number.
Obviously, it wasn't the first time. So I was like, no, that's okay. The beauty of living in Tampa and your really awesome parents being in California is there's a 3-hour difference. So I hung up the phone and called my parents. Dad answered and he goes, he's like, it's a good thing that you called us because I'm going through some suicide training right now, like through church. My mom picked up the other line because house phones and she said, Alicia, come home. We want you home. We need you home. Please come home. And I packed up my stuff and came home and I was super broken, got into therapy, hypnotherapy, super awesome, by the way, if you've never experienced hypnotherapy. Yeah, do it. It's expensive, but do it.
So thank you, Alicia's parents, for answering the phone that night. Just put it out there.
Yeah, my mom doesn't remember answering the phone. And my mom doesn't remember telling me to come home. And it was my mom, sort of my dad, but it was really what my mom said. You know, we need you and we want you home. Please come home.
Because, I mean, at this standpoint, you've pretty much 15 months of your life, you've been a puppet. And you went out, you went on this journey thinking that you were moving forward to the next step in life. You were going to get married. A man was out there who wanted you. You had found your soulmate, and the whole time he's been playing games.
Yep.
You've been kind of the picturesque girlfriend, quote unquote.
Yep. It wasn't until about 5 years after I left, because I've been gone now for, I think, 7 or 8. We've been broken up for 7 or 8 years. And he messaged me on Facebook. We weren't Facebook friends, but he messaged me. And he apologized. And it kind of felt like an Alcohol Anonymous or like Narcotics Anonymous, like making amends step.
Step number 9 is making amends.
Yeah. It felt a little bit like that. But because I was so happy with who I was with and where I was going in life, I was living with a new boyfriend in this, you know, great apartment. I was up on my feet again. The world was, my smoothie was tasting delicious.
Yeah.
And he apologized. And I said, you know what? It's sincere. So right now we're talking. Like, he just went through a breakup. He was with her for 3 years in New York. He moved from Florida to New York, met a girl, fell in love. They fought all the time. He and I never really fought. We just bottled everything up until it exploded. And he asked me, like, hey, did I ever dangle finances over your head? Did I dangle a carrot? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, you did. So he apologized some more. He's my IT professional on call all the time now. And we're just kind of slowly, but it's safe because he is 3,000 miles away. And I've had a few people ask me, like, do you think you'll ever get back together? And I'm like, I'm not actually attracted to him anymore like that. Too much time has passed. He was always the anomaly, not physically my type, but I fell in love with it. And
So with all of this, right, you kind of closed that chapter recently.
Yeah.
Right? With the smoothie, there's other ingredients.
Yes.
So at this standpoint, it took you, would you say, 7 years to kind of fully close that chapter on him?
I would say it took about 5 years.
Okay.
I haven't forgiven him for those awful things that happened, but, and it's not like I've necessarily made them okay, it's just they are. He is a good person who happened to do bad things. And I think a lot of us can probably relate to that, is we do crappy things, we do shitty things to other people that aren't in our nature for whatever reason, but that doesn't make us...
We're not bad people.
We're not, in my opinion.
No, I would agree with that. Everyone does, you know, what could be bad things or have a negative impact on somebody else and unfortunately be completely unaware of that.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm glad he did reach out and you at least got to close that one.
Yeah, I'm super thankful that I got closure. And when he did apologize originally, it was an I'm sorry that I didn't know I needed.
Vanessa, I'm sorry you didn't know? You didn't know you needed apology?
I didn't know I needed that apology because when I came back, I deleted photographs, tried to remove every single trace of him because it was just so hurtful. It was so painful for me. And having those reminders of gifts and songs, anything that would kind of trigger our moment together, our moments together, our years together, was unbearable.
Yeah, it sounds traumatic. The thing, the whole adventure just sounds very traumatic for you.
There were good times, but we're going to go with there are a little bit more bad times and a little bit more confusion for a year and 3 months, 6 months, however long I was there. Just, yeah, a lot of, and maybe that's how I'm framing it or how I'm remembering it to kind of shield myself from that ever happening ever again. But when I came back to California, eventually started dating, maybe sorta in a way, I found myself in an also crappy relationship. All right. So that was dude number one. Let's talk about dude number two another time.
Ooh, dude number two. Stay tuned for more.